This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Black Daddies Club was founded in 2007 by Brandon Hay in response to the lack of forums and spaces for black men to discuss parenting issues, as well as the issues facing the black community as a whole. Now, the City of Toronto has approved a grant for Brandon Hay and professors from University of Toronto and York University to conduct research into the experiences and challenges of black fathers. That research is occurring against a backdrop of violence and tragedy for black communities in and around Toronto. A series of gun-related deaths have focused attention on young black men as both perpetrators and victims of crime. We're joined on the phone by Brandon Hay, founder of the Black Daddies Club.
Welcome back to People First Radio, Brandon. Hello.
Hey, Kevin, how are you? Kevin, how are you?
Good, thanks. Tell us a bit more about the research project that's underway. How is it being conducted?
So it's a participatory action research that we're doing, where it basically means that we're getting black fathers' voices in terms of helping us shape the research. We partnered with University of Toronto as well as York University. The two lead researchers are coming from those institutions. Essentially, the first phase of the research project is a series of community forums that will be taking place in the next month or so in the GTA. And from there, we will be forming small focus groups of black fathers that attend those community discussions and doing one-on-one interviews with these fathers to talk about challenges as well as assets and barriers that they face as black fathers in Toronto.
How long is this going to take? And at the end of it, what will the result be?
Well, the actual research and the report should be wrapped up by June of this year. In terms of what it will be, like, you know, I can answer that question when we're finished the project. What we do hope for, what we aim for is basically to take out the guesswork, right? And it's to really create more relevant programs for black fathers in Toronto. And also find, you know, not just for Black Daddies Club, but for other agencies that work with black fathers and do work around parenting, to use this information to better the work that they're doing as well.
Give us a sense, Brandon, of the issues and challenges that black fathers can face based on your work in the Black Daddies Club and elsewhere.
Well, I think, you know, that the issue, you know, there's some issues that we face that is across the board when you talk about employment, housing. But I do think when we talk about, there's some issues when we talk about, let's say, racism, or even the concern that racism our children faces. I think that's something that does come up. Well, you know, when you look at the TDSB most recent census, where it shows like 40% of black fathers, of black youth male are dropping out. And then combat that when you look at the percentage of who's in the prisons, we've seen the Aboriginal as well as the black community, you know, having, you know, a higher rate. So when we look at, you know, we're seeing, you know, a lot of black fathers in or black men in the criminal justice or in the prisons, that does impact the way, you know, one can parent, basically, right? So you have a bunch of different issues that are systemic as well as race as well. So it's just looking at them and just really, you know, in a place like Canada, we have statistics, but rarely do we take race-based statistics.
You spoke at TEDx in Toronto, and I watched the talk online. It's posted at YouTube. It was very inspiring. Yeah. You spoke about what you called the normalization of crisis within black communities around the world. Tell us about that.
You know, the context of what I was speaking about was the fact that my father was murdered in 1996 in Jamaica, and just, you know, by an 11-year-old young boy who 2 weeks later he was murdered by the individuals who hired him. And, you know, when I was talking to the police during, you know, the post wrap up, you know, he was just letting me know that this sort of thing happens all the while. And I think there is this that normalization of crisis in not just black communities in Jamaica, but whether it's in BC or it's in Toronto or in Brixton, that it's okay, you know. Where if this is happening in any other community, this would be deeply problematic. And I think, you know, we just don't want to get used to this and say like this is okay because it's the black community and this is how they go about things. You know, that's nonsense. I think this is really about looking at what are the factors and predictors are dealing with this. It's looking at some solutions that we can take at changing this, basically.
Black communities in and around Toronto have been hit by a wave of violent deaths in past months. And these tragedies have involved youth-on-youth gun violence.
Right.
You've also written about what's happening there on your Huffington Post blog. Tell us about the community responses to these events and the impact on the community.
Well, I think that, the impact, the response on one hand from the community is obviously outrage and also not just disbelief, but also, you know, searching to find some kind of answer, you know, solution. You know, we hear collaboration and so forth, but then what we have to look at is the fact that issues that cause like these gun violence is not our community, it's also systemic. So when we talk about collaboration and what the community is doing, you know, we have to start looking at our views of community, not just residents, but also stakeholders. So I'm talking about government, academia, as well as, you know, the community on a whole. Start looking at different solutions that we as a community can take, basically, to fix some of these issues. Because it's not just affecting the black community, it's affecting the community on a larger whole, right?
There seems to be a general understanding, and a fair amount is being written about this now in terms of trying to understand what is happening, that violence among black men, young black men, is related to the lack of fathers in the community. Tell us about that.
Well, I think, you know, and this is another reason why, you know, we want to, we are doing this research project, because we want to show that, you know, we want to look at the different factors. Like, I mean, you know, this is not the first time there's any research been done. Like, you know, the Year of the Guns, there was the Roots of Youth Violence research that came out. But then, you know, it's what happens. The question that keeps on coming up as a community member is, and what, you know, the recommendations that came from that weren't implemented by the powers that be. Like, as a community member, you know, I can take part in these research projects, but then it takes decision makers, whether it's in government, to implement these findings that they paid for. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not just for the community to try to figure out. It's basically you have individuals who can't find work, you know, and you look at the situation now where it's a lot more competitive versus, like, say, 30 years ago. You know, there's all these different factors that come in. And if you are coming out of a community and, you know, you drop out of school early or, you know, you don't have the proper training, then coupled that if you're a father now or you have responsibilities, you know, there's a certain level of isolation and then a certain level of I don't say depravity, but it's a certain urgency that you're in, basically, that, you know, that one can't necessarily take him or herself out of the situation, because it's not just him or, you know, they didn't put themselves in that situation by themselves, if you get me.
In your TEDx talk in Toronto, you talked about providing support to black men, black fathers. You said that simply ending isolation, you've just mentioned isolation, and shame also is critical. You said not alone is key. Tell us about that support.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the last part.
You said not alone, being not alone is key.
Right.
Tell us more about that whole dynamic.
I think, you know, that the idea of isolation is just, it's something that, you know, it's become a buzzword, and I think and it's so true, and not just with black fathers, but a lot of young men who is in the court system or just in society right now, you know? But again, speaking from a black standpoint, you know, a lot of these men I speak to is going through issues where they feel that they're going through by themselves, whether it's that they can't find housing, they can't find employment, or they can't, you know, they can't find, they have a record and they can't get expunged, and they feel that they feel guilty, they may feel depressed, and they want to own that depression or the isolation. However, when they start talking to other fathers or other individuals in the community and then being honest, they realize that they're not going through these issues by themselves, right? And the same challenges that they have, other men are going through as well. So there becomes then a key point of our approach is really to start having dialogues with like-minded individuals who are going through the same situation. So, A, ground what they're going through and let them realize, like, hey, you know, I'm not, you know, this is not me alone going through this issue. And so let's start looking at some patterns. And then the dialogue starts to change after that, basically, because then it becomes then, okay, why is it that all of us are going through the same issue? And what is the common, what is the intersections at the end of the day? And I think that's really what, at the end of the day, we see we're going forward, looking more like is really trying to look at the intersections of where some of these oppressions are happening and then start working on those, basically.
Brandon Hay, we'll have to leave it at that. Thank you very much for taking the time to join us, and we'll look forward to speaking with you again.
Likewise. Thanks for the opportunity.
Brandon Hay is the founder of the Toronto-based Black Daddies Club. You can find them online at blackdaddiesclub.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.